Inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show. Brought to you by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Welcome once again to the TJ Otzelberger Show. Tonight, a little field trip, traveling a little further west from the Orleans, where they're occupied with rodeo festivities. So our home away from home, and thanks to the great folks here at the Parkway Tavern over at Flamingo near the 215 on the west side of town near Summerlin. Thank them very much for hosting us tonight as the rodeo road trip, I guess, concludes with us having to move on the coaches' show. Everything returns to normal for Runner Rebel basketball starting next week when the Rebels get back into the Thomas and Mack, and the season really starts to build some momentum as the Rebels with three non-conference games left before conference play begins in earnest. Hi, everybody. I'm John Sandler, along with Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, our engineer Nick Murphy alongside, and the head coach TJ Otzelberger, as the Runner Rebels are off this week with finals going on, finishing the rodeo road trip 1-2, winning the game. I think if you said you only could win one, they won the one that was most important. That was the conference game. The Rebels winning up at Fresno State in double overtime, sandwiched between the trip to Cincinnati and then BYU's General Sherman impression through the state of Nevada, taking care of the Rebels and taking care of Reno by the same margin. I don't know if everybody saw, but Rebels took a shellacking at the hands of BYU in Salt Lake, and a couple of nights later, Reno had the misfortune of getting a red-hot BYU team and lost by 33 points themselves. So we'll talk about those a little bit. We'll spend most of our time tonight looking forward with Coach and also visiting with a couple of guys who we're real excited about seeing in uniform next year. Two guys who are redshirting as Moses Wood and David Jenkins Jr. will join us here over at Parkway Tavern a little bit later on. But let's right now bring in the coach, TJ Otzelberger. And coach, your first experience with the rodeo road trip, and you're getting the full taste as even the show gets moved during this time. But the rodeo is such a big deal here in Las Vegas and a great thing for the city. Have you had a chance to get a flavor of it being around the Thomas and Mack a little bit?
You know, we've had all the food trucks and everything outside of our office, and on Tuesday night, I believe it was, I kind of walked around and just took a tour and checked everything out, so I don't know a whole lot about rodeo. It seemed like an awesome awesome crowd, a lot of energy, exciting times, and like you mentioned, a great event for our city.
Yeah, Vegas and UNLV Runner Rebel basketball, it's unique. And one of the things that is unique about it is the fact that got to be out of the building for a couple weeks in December. And over time, we've seen a variety of things. I know this wasn't a schedule that you set. As you think about the future during the rodeo road trip, would it be your hope to try to play a game somewhere locally as we've done over the last recent years, whether it's at the Orleans or Grand Garden or T-Mobile or someplace like that?
Yeah, those are certainly, options that we'll explore. Obviously, the dates need to coincide with opponents and get all those things worked out. There is some benefit. Our guys have final exams this week, so it gives them some time to focus on that first part of the student-athlete hyphenated word and make sure they take care of their studies. Also, we've had so many games in a short period of time, so guys get much-needed rest. But, yeah, we'll explore those options, whether it's play at T-Mobile or one of the other properties, to try to look at getting a home game or pseudo-home game during this stretch.
Curtis, from a player's perspective, you go into this portion of the schedule and it's almost as if you're at home just enough to unpack and repack and get going. It's tough. It's wearing on you.
For sure. And I wouldn't even say just as a player. I mean, for us over the last 2 weeks, it's been a whirlwind. But nonetheless, it's fun. I think, like Coach mentioned previously, it gives the players an opportunity to really bond, to build that camaraderie, to get a feel for each other and know that it's just the guys that we have in the trenches are who we're going to battle with. And we've seen that, obviously, from Cincinnati going to Fresno. Obviously, we won't talk about the trip to Salt Lake. I think it's unique. And if I can throw a vote in or have anything, we definitely want to play one of those local games. Those are fun. I know I liked them for sure. And the fans like them.
Yeah,
so they say.
It's a good time. We bring in the third member of our crew, Steve Cofield. And Steve, you know, you have a little bit of a broader perspective, focusing on sports in this community, not just Runner Rebel basketball. You know how important the rodeo is and what it does for the community, but it is a little bit of a burden on the program.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge schedule-wise, and as John mentioned in the past, there's been some higher-profile games, or sometimes it's been lesser opponents, too. If it was, you know, I think they booked one over at the Orleans one night.
St. Catharines, yeah, or whatever it was, yeah.
That was a little bit of an easier assignment. I wanted to ask the coach, now that you're through at least that portion of the non-con schedule, and it was a difficult run, you didn't get all the wins you wanted, but what did you get out of playing in a really aggressive schedule?
Well, I think, like you saw at Fresno, I mean, our guys were tested, especially on the road, with overtime losses at Cal and at Cincy, and we've been in that spot before. So what we learned as coaches is we're a far better team in double overtime, so we've just got to kind of find a way to get to that the second extra period. But I think it helps you guys. Look, if you have character and you want to get better, you learn from those situations. You maybe don't make the same mistakes. You feel like you've got some experience and some poise and close games and how to play down the stretch. And hopefully those are some of the things we learned from those tough losses.
Yeah, and I think you can point back to the Fresno game not only as a positive because you won it. You won it with some clutch play, you know, a key shot by Bryce Hamilton to send it to overtime. But I also thought at times you out-toughed them. The physical plays, securing the ball. I thought that was one of the better games in terms of getting that stuff accomplished.
Yeah, I think, you know, our rebounding margin was substantially high. We're definitely the more physical team on their court. I think our guys did exude a lot of toughness, and I think hopefully that comes from being battle-tested, from being in some of those games. We told our guys going into that Fresno game that they hadn't played the schedule that we'd played, they hadn't played the opponents that we'd played, and we were the more prepared, more physical team, and it showed to be true that night.
And I thought prime example, and this is something to build on, and it's, I'm sure you can show the film to the rest of the guys, Bryce Hamilton had several shots, grabbed the offensive rebound and put back, and
including one absolutely critical one.
And a lot of that's effort. I mean, you guys track what goes on game to game on film. How many 50-50 balls where, you know, both teams have a shot at the ball, but you got to win that fight, and in that game you got it done.
Yeah, I thought against Fresno was one of the games that really that was a positive outlier for us. We were able to come up with a lot of those rebounds and traffic. Some of the loose balls. I thought we were the more aggressive team, and when you're the more aggressive team, those things seem to go your way. And Bryce made a few of those plays, and then getting three of his own misses in traffic and then being able to complete those plays.
Yeah, and it's something that has been talked about a lot over the years in terms of the toughness of a Runner Rebel team and the grit and the heart and the character. I think this year's team is not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. We're seeing some of that toughness. We saw it at Fresno. We've seen it in other games where the Rebels have displayed it. And I think it's something that you and your staff pride yourselves on. Is that something that you are going to try to make a kind of a cornerstone of this program, not only going into conference play, but for years to come?
Yeah, I think, you know, for any program, I think you want to have a great sense of pride for the program you're playing for. And I think our guys need to have a lot of thankfulness and humility for the opportunity they have here. Playing in a program that's had, you know, success over years, passionate fan base, a lot of winners that have come before us, a lot of championships. And so our guys need to make sure that we play in such a manner to honor all those players and fans and everyone that's come before us. It's definitely something we're going to hang our hat on. I think our guys have showed at times we can be a really tough physical team. It's something that needs to go from a part-time or some of the time to an all-the-time type thing.
And I think, I mean, Curtis and I have talked about this on the air. There are a lot of positive things that this team has done that fit exactly what you just said, that need to go from a part-time thing to a more consistent thing, and that could lead to a really nice season.
Yeah, and I think overall, like, for us, you mentioned the 50-50 balls. We've talked about the rebounding, talked about defensively. You know, I think part of toughness is ball toughness, making sure that we value the basketball, making sure that we get a great shot for our team, whether that means, you know, making the extra pass on penetration and not getting our shot blocked or not going into traffic, whether that means not putting ourselves in a spot where we get sped up. But I think that toughness can really come out when you value all those possessions, when you're willing passers, make the extra pass, make the right play. I think our guys are working hard to do that every day. Hopefully, as we continue to improve in that area, that part of toughness will come out as well.
Give us an update, please, on the two starters that have been missing, one for an extended period of time, one unfortunately likely going to be for an extended period of time, as Jonah Antonio and Eli Mitrulong both suffering thumb injuries, and are we going to see either one of them anytime soon?
Well, first with Jonah, he's obviously been out, I think we're going on, six games out, so we're hopeful that he'll be back in the next couple weeks, whether that's right before the holiday break or right after. We're not sure. He hasn't practiced yet. Probably won't get cleared. Tomorrow's our last day for the week. So he's probably looking at, you know, after the holiday break. But, you know, there's a chance at sooner. With Eli, it was 8 weeks from his surgery. So we're still quite a ways out. We're hoping late January, early February for a return for him.
Wow, that's just a shame. But, as you know, as you always say, Coach, nobody's going to feel sorry for you, and it's next guy up. And the guys responded in Fresno so well. Marvin gave him some solid minutes. You mentioned, Steve, what a terrific game, a double-double for Bryce Hamilton in that game. Donnie played well. Other guys have to pick up. And I get the sense, Coach, that that this group really has stayed together and has maintained their cohesion as best they can through these tough times. And that's going to serve them well going forward.
Well, I think the guys, it's a credit to their character. They've definitely done that. You know, a lot of teams, I mean, you lose three overtime games in a short period of time, it's going to wear on you. I think we live in such a day and age where everything's the instant gratification. Yep. You know, we want to win every game. At the same time, there's a process as you continue to evolve as a team through the season. I know our guys did a great job as we've gone through some of those things. They've stuck together. They've had each other's back. They've worked together. As long as they keep doing that, you know, and we improve as this season goes on, we'll like how things go as we move forward.
I don't think, you know, maybe Kansas, maybe Carolina, but I don't think you could have picked, could have had a worse scheduling timing scenario than having to play BYU at the end of that road trip in that circumstance. It just, guys obviously were a little bit tired, and the Cougars were red hot, and they've continued, as I mentioned, just blew the doors off of Reno the other night as well.
They're a really good team with Childs back. I mean, he only played about half the game in their overtime loss to Utah and had 29 points.
Yeah.
And he didn't play down the stretch. Had he played, that probably would have been a different outcome. And then, you know, for us and for Reno again, I mean, BYU's just playing at a higher level. They've got six or seven seniors that have played together. They're all probably about 25 years old.
At least.
And have played together for a number of years. They really moved the basketball. And you know what? We knew in that game, same deal. We had to come out and be a step ahead. We need to be more physical, and just felt like all game long we were chasing them. They had more energy. We were playing from behind the play defensively, and offensively we were just a step slow. And against a team like that, especially in a game that, you know, again, it's not on their home court, but it's a road environment, you're going to have a tough time staying with them, and that was the case on Saturday.
That happens to the best of us, Coach. We exchanged some battles up there with BYU. The only thing I wish that we had was that opportunity to get some revenge, because we had that. We lost by 26 there, beat them by 29 here. For me, though, I'm curious. All that's great. How are the guys doing just in general? I know they've obviously had some time off finals. How are the guys doing just as guys right now going through a little break after a quarter of the season?
Yeah, I think for a lot of them, it's, you know, getting on track with their academics and focusing there. For some others, you know, beyond the academic piece, you know, some of their bodies, I mean, guys like Hardy and Bakke Jong, I mean, those guys have played heavy minutes night in and night out. So taking some time to get their bodies some recovery and still trying to, you know, stay in shape. I think there's other guys like a Marvin Coleman who's really trying to study film and offense and defense and some leadership things and maybe step into a bigger role with you know, with Eli being out for extended time. I think guys are getting a lot of extra shots in. We know with Jonah out, we don't have that prolific three-point threat, so it's got to be more by committee. And so with each guy, it's kind of trying to figure out what do I need to do to be at my best for myself with my studies, for myself with my game, how can I take care of my body, and then how can we all come together as a group.
So with that, the follow-up, how are finals going?
They're going well. I think majority of our guys are through everything here today. Still a few papers, assignments that are, you know, due here before the end. But pretty much on the home stretch, and I think by tomorrow afternoon we're pretty much through it. They've done a great job with their studies, so hopefully we finish strong with the finals, and we'll be happy with the academic report.
What sort of help do you get, you know, aside from you having to micromanage guys, you know, doing what they're supposed to do academically?
Yeah, we're fortunate. We have an academic counselor, Connor Robinson. He does a tremendous job. He puts in tons of hours with those guys. He definitely isn't punching the clock. He's in early, stays late. He's really diligent with their schedule. We're fortunate. Another young woman, Kim Drew, works with our guys, making sure that they're in the right classes with the right professors and making sure they're on track with their majors and just following up and doing everything they need to do to be successful. So we're really lucky to have both of those two in the roles they are because they do a great job.
So it's interesting. Coming out of the BYU game, I'm listening to John and Curtis, and I think Curtis was mentioning, hey, maybe they're going to get a couple of days off. And Coach Otzelberger walks out, and you had de-escalated pretty quickly. It wasn't like you came out. You know, you were annoyed. You explained why it just was not acceptable. But right away, you went into practice. Now we're going to practice because you almost seemed a little sad. You're like, we haven't practiced. That's what I like doing, and we've missed too much practice time.
Well, I think for us, you know, I think for any team, you have to start by having that clarity amongst your own group. You have to find out who you are, know who you are, define who you are, and then for the players, accept what we'd say is your role and how you can help our team win. And for our group, there's a lot of new guys. I mean, when you look at it from the jump, it's, you know, Mitchell Long is new, Tillman's new, Antonio's new, Sheebel's new. So you're throwing four guys into the mix that are playing heavy minutes that haven't played with each other. And then you have the returning players, and then a guy like Hamilton who hasn't played as much in the past, or Dembele who was out last year. So with the exception really of Amari and Mbake, there's a lot of new faces playing a lot of minutes. So we're trying to bring those guys together. And for me as a coach, you're trying to find that team identity and how can you be at your best. At the same time, when you have a game every couple days, you have to prepare to get ready to play that game, whether you're playing against the press, a zone, switching defense, certain things you have to be prepared for going in. So, again, for me, I value the practice time the most. For me, that's the most fun part of this all is making sure that, you know, our guys are building the habits fundamentally, the work ethic, and everything that we're doing on that practice court leads to the success during the game time.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll get into some things that you've emphasized and looked at in practice and also take a look ahead as the Rebels are back, inside the Thomas and Mack on the 18th against a really good team from the University of the Pacific. We'll take a break, come back, all of that coming up. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Parkway Tavern on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Back here at Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo. Runner Rebel Coaches Show, the T.J. Otzelberger Show with you. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and the head coach, T.J. Otzelberger. Talking Runner Rebel basketball as the Rebels get ready to finish up the non-conference portion of the schedule. And then it sounds awfully strange to say it, to restart the conference portion on actually New Year's Day. Rebels will entertain Utah State at the Thomas and Mack, but three non-conference games between now and then, and the first one comes up next week on the 18th when the Rebels take on UOP. But Coach, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned, and we've been talking before the break, about the need to get back and start practicing again and restart that process of establishing identity, which you referred to. So if you can, tell us about what's been done in practice since the Rebels got home from Salt Lake City and what you're going to do over the next few days, although over the next few days is leads into the UOP game.
Well, I think, first of all, it's getting back to the fundamentals, starting on the defensive side with footwork, with closeouts, with guarding the dribble. Those are really important things to us, making sure defensively in our man-to-man concepts we're in gaps, we're protecting the paint, and we're contesting shots. And those are things that we really emphasized in training camp coming out of the box and just haven't had as much time each day to work on. So we know if we can hang our hat on our defense and really rebound the basketball, that we can be pretty good. And then offensively, we've spent a lot of time press offense, zone offense, playing against different baseline out-of-bounds defensive plans. So just really trying to equip our guys with the skills of saying, different things are going to come at you during the game, and we need to have a plan, and we all need to be on the same page when they do. And then lastly, some late-game situations, trying to prepare ourselves, build the confidence, but also, again, just having a plan, whether it's offense or defense in critical moments.
Is it an opportunity for you and your staff to kind of take a half step back and take stock of where you are now? I mean, as we've talked about, up until recently, you'd only been together for a couple of months, and even though you're building and you're together a lot, you still have to learn who you are and who these guys are and how they play together and all of that. Have you been able to, with the staff, take a half step back and look at things and make some adjustments and reassessments?
Definitely, and I think, you know, the season to me always is kind of broke up into three parts, because I think the first third, the first 10 or 11 games, you're learning who you are and who you can be. You're learning different combinations, how they can play together. You're learning how you compete against opponents and what do you need to do to be at your best and how you can replicate that. I think that second 10-game stretch is now you've kind of have that identity formed and you're really trying to perfect it. And then I think that third 10 games, you want to try to be the best version of yourself and build that momentum going forward. So I really think it's like three different seasons. One's the non-conference, you know, one's finishing non-conference in the league play, and one's the home stretch of league play. And I think for any program, what holds true in college basketball is you want to be playing your best basketball come February and into March. That is, without question, the most important thing, especially when you're in a conference like ours. And you know what? We might get multiple bids, but it might be the one team that's playing the best basketball come early March that's cutting down the nets and playing in the tournament.
So in that case, blessing in disguise with Jonah and Eli getting some fresh legs going into conference play. No, I think you're right. And Donnie kind of mentioned this after the BYU game. Obviously not the outcome they won, but the guys are sticking together and they know they're making progress. Obviously that game made exception to the rule, but seeing where they started and where they're going, and like you mentioned, the tough losses in overtime, but then figuring that out and making those plays. With Eli being out, is that something to where you guys need to harp on the continuity and just staying together as the guys are on the court moving into this, or is that the team kind of just finding it within and someone kind of stepping up, but obviously with your leader being sidelined?
Yeah, I think it puts our coaching staff and myself in a spot where we need to continue to lead and guide and mentor guys. I think, you know, you get a guy like Marvin Coleman, who's a sophomore, who now ends up, you know, playing more and having a bigger role for at least a period of time. And so you've got to develop and cultivate and work to build that trust and that confidence in him to step up in that capacity. I think a guy like Amari, who's stomached a lot of scoring in this first 11-game stretch, there's going to be times he needs to do more directing of traffic out there and leading the guys. And so I think for everybody, it means stepping up a little more, communicating a little more, coming together a little better. I think, you know, as much as anything, it's that time investment in each other and our guys doing it off the court, us doing it every day in practice.
So I wanted to get into what it takes to be a good college basketball coach. Obviously, every coach has different methods. Something I've noticed about Coach Otzelberger, you are on that phone all the time. And I just wonder, and this is not to scold you, what are you doing? Like, you're texting a lot. You actually speak on the phone a lot, which I know a lot of people now are like, I don't want to talk on the phone to anyone. So what are what are you doing? How do you split your time? Because you seem to want to be in touch with people at every moment you can.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it to me is recruiting and is staying in touch with guys who are committed, talking to future recruits. I think in this day and age, so many people have gone away from talking on the phone because it's easier and more convenient to text. I think in recruiting, that's something that we can hopefully separate ourselves with, is me actively recruiting and those personal relationships. Right now, all three of our assistants are out recruiting as we speak. So part of it's trading information with those guys and trying to be proactive. I think, we're going to recruit hard. We're going to invest a lot of time in it, and it starts with me as the leader.
Well, and you mentioned personal relationships. There's a guy sitting a couple tables away from us who we're going to talk to in just a little while, David Jenkins, and it was through personal relationships that you were not only able to get him to come to South Dakota State, but also come here. And that personal relationship you have with that young man is something very special to him. I'm sure it's special to you. And it was a key to bringing his skills here to Las Vegas.
Yeah, David's a tremendous young man, as much as he's obviously a prolific scorer and tremendous player is his character, and I think David and I just fit. I think he's somebody that thrives in an open court, you know, up and down system. That's what we did a lot at South Dakota State and what we're trying to get implemented here, and he plays great in transition. And I think, to your point, I think you build those personal relationships. We want to win as many games as possible. To me, it's really important to be a leader, a mentor, help guys reach their potential on the court, off the court, in the classroom, and couldn't be more proud of David, how he's developed in all those ways. I know how exciting it's going to be for fans watching him play next year.
No doubt, and we're going to hear from him in a little bit. We might ask him a question or two about you. We'll see. But is the relationship that you build with your players, does it, I assume it does it extend well beyond graduation?
Yeah, I think for us and for me, I mean, I'm a teacher at my core, and, like, to be able to be there for those guys, to build that relationship and have it be lifelong is really important to me. I think that's also a way that hopefully they feel that trust and respect, and that allows them to play at their best because they know they've got someone who's got their back, who cares about them. Basketball is important, but it's not just about basketball. And I think that's why I do this. I mean, it's great. I'm competitive. I love the game. All that stuff's awesome, but really it's about people. It's about helping people grow, develop, reach their potential, and those personal connections. And that's my favorite part of this job.
So I want to stay on the coaching angle. Tomorrow, UNLV will introduce a new football coach. Marcus Arroyo is coming in from most recent stop at Oregon. What advice would you give him on just what you've discovered about the UNLV community?
Well, I think there's so much support here, you know, throughout the campus, throughout the community, as this community continues to grow. I think, you know, in the football world, which I don't know as well, I think there's got to be a lot of young talent around here. I think my advice to him would be to embrace our awesome fan base, set up your roots locally recruiting because there's more and more talent here every day. Stick to your ideals as a coach because he's been highly successful as he's climbed the ladder both in college and in the NFL. And Oregon had a tremendous season this year, winning the Pac-12 championship, and he was their offensive coordinator. So I think all those things go hand in hand to make it a terrific opportunity. I know he's going to do great.
How important are facilities? Because that's obviously something we've talked a lot about with UNLV football, upgrading with the Fertitta football complex, the stadium on the way. You know, and the same for you. You have a nice big arena. You've got the Mendenhall. How big is that when, you know, kids come in? How important is it to them?
Well, I think facilities are absolutely important. I mean, for football, there's similarities or differences, but to play in the Allegiant, stadium where the Raiders are going to be playing, brand new, state-of-the-art, what an awesome opportunity. For Tita facility is top of the line, and so awesome time, awesome energy, and great facilities for Marcus to be able to work with. We're fortunate with Thomas and Mack and Mendenhall on our side of the equation. I think, you know, there's all different reasons why recruits pick a certain college or university, but facilities is definitely a factor, and we're fortunate to have what we have.
Yeah, the significant improvement in facilities overall, but just specifically on basketball over the last 10 or 15 years, thanks to all that support, the Mendenhalls and the Runner Rebel Club and Mr. Paulus and Mr. Boyd, and we can't name them all, has been tremendous and has really given the program a platform upon which to build.
No, it certainly has. There's so many generous people in our community, big supporters that have allowed us to do some special things, and we're really grateful for that and seek out the opportunity each day to work as hard as we can to basically show our respect and for everything that everybody's done for us.
All right, Coach, before we let you go and we get the guys up here for the second half of the show, real quick, you got UOP coming up next week. They've gotten off to a great start this year. A lot of folks say, well, you know, in that conference, you've got BYU and Gonzaga and St. Mary's, and they're sort of the best of the rest. That's pretty good because that's a good conference.
It is. I mean, and like I said, Gonzaga is one of the best in the country. BYU is going to, with Childs back, is going to climb the rankings. I'm confident they're a top 20 type of team as well. And Pacific's off to a great start. They're 9-3. They play Sunday. They're a team with a lot of older veteran players, a few grad transfers that came in. Everybody that they play in their 10-man rotation is 6'4 and bigger except for one guy. They're big. They're physical. They really protect the paint defensively. Offensively, they're really balanced. It's not, you know, they've got, you know, two guys in double figures, but it's really spread across the board. So proves to be a very physical game at Thomas and Mack come Wednesday.
Well, good thing the Rebels will have gotten some rest in preparation for that. That's Wednesday night at the Thomas and Mack, 7 o'clock, the Runner Rebels against UOP. Coach, appreciate it as always. Thanks for driving a little bit further west this time as we finish officially the rodeo road trip tonight with the Coaches Show here at Parkway Tavern. Go home and see the kids. I know that's priority one, and we'll see you before the UOP game for the interview.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Head coach T.J. Otzelberger visiting with us. We'll take a break, come back, and one of the guys, David or Moses, is going to join us. We'll figure out which one first, but we'll get them both on the air here for the second half of the show. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Parkway Tavern on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Back at Parkway Tavern, the T.J. Otzelberger Show rolls on. John Sandler along with Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and a special guest joining us. Thanks very much to him for making the trip up. David Jenkins Jr. joining us. David, appreciate it very, very much. Happy holidays. And excited to have you here. Let's jump right in. You had a chance to go lots and lots of places. You've been asked this question a million times. We'll get out of the way. Why UNLV?
I'd say UNLV just because I know the rich culture of UNLV, and I kind of want to be a part of that program, that rich culture as well. I remember when I was still at South Dakota State University, I watched the interview when TJ had first got the job, and he had mentioned how he wanted to bring the magic back to the school, and I just feel like, wow, like, you know, I know so much about this program. Why not be a part of something like that? I felt like it's easy for me to go to schools like Oregon and Gonzaga and, you know, continue the winning culture there, but I want to be a part of something because my whole life I've been the underdog, so I felt like, why not just continue that and try to keep building on from that process as well?
We need to record that and play it for everybody in Las Vegas, because if you don't get a little bit excited listening to that, I don't think your heart's beating in the right way.
Right.
TJ's a special guy. He's different than other coaches in a variety of ways. What about him as a coach makes him special in your mind?
I'd say his character and the fact that TJ is the only coach that I've ever had in my life that genuinely cares about the players on and off the court. He cares about what you're doing off the court, things like, you know, having good grades and being good in the community and being approachable and things like that. A lot of coaches just care about what you're doing on the court because they're trying to win. I like how he looks at both aspects, because he doesn't want you to only be a good player. He wants you to be a great man as well. So being able to see him look out for me, not just as a player, but as a man of these last about 2 or 3 years now, overall, that I feel like that's the biggest thing I know about TJ, and that's one of his biggest traits.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the TJ understanding the guys and trying to figure out what he has and put things in place to begin building this program. The guy's got to get used to him as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously,
what would be some of the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want to win now, but the fact that everybody's new to each other, we're still all getting accustomed to each other. I don't think not everything is clicking right yet, but I feel like it's going to, because of the fact that the guys are starting to buy in day by day. Practices are starting to look a lot better. Our offense is starting to flow, and our defense is starting to flow as well. So, just a guys being able to trust each other each and every day and building that trust and camaraderie throughout our whole squad each and every day, I feel like it's going to help us later on in the season. But I think these next few games here, we're going to start to pick it up, man, because I feel like, you know, we're tired of everything that's been happening in the before. You know, we're going to continue to try to keep building on this program, and I feel like we're going in the right direction right now.
Does he feel like he's coaching a little bit differently in practice? Is his style a little bit different? I had heard some mentions that, hey, he's really pushing defense. Like, his defensive intensity is a lot different than it was.
Yeah, TJ mentioned to me in the beginning of the year that he thinks that our personnel is going to be more of a defensive team because of the players we have, the athleticism, and the talent that we have. I wouldn't say he's necessarily coaching differently, but I feel like he's more emphasizing more on the defense because he feels like we can be really great on the defensive end. I'd say that's something we're going to try to continue to build on. We haven't been as great and done everything that we have in practice and put on the floor, but we're going to continue to try to get better on defense and offense.
Did you think you needed a little more intensity from a defensive standpoint? Can you become a better defensive player?
Oh, yeah. I feel like more improvement throughout my whole game. You know, offense, defense, all of it. I feel like if I want to go to where I want to go, I need to improve on every aspect of the game.
The answer is yes. You know you do. It's all good. But you can put the ball in the bucket, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, guys redshirt. That means different things to different people, whether they need to lift weights, whether they need to work on their shooting. Academically for you, what are you trying to get out of this, but what also are you bringing to the team to help them even though you're not on the court on game nights?
Academically, you're talking about? Or overall?
Overall. What are you getting out of this redshirt year, but also what are you bringing to the team to help them even though you're not on the court game nights?
I'd say just the fact that I already played for TJ for 2 years now, so I know his system, you know, on and off the court. I know how he operates off the court when it comes to his character, what he likes and what he doesn't like. I know how he operates on the court, what he does and doesn't like. So I try to be that coach. You know, even when I'm sitting on the sidelines, you know, I'm on the scout team and I can't do as much on the floor with the guys, but I try to say things here and there that'll help them in practice and continue to help them build their mentality so it correlates with TJ's as well. Because ultimately, I feel like we're going to reach ultimate success when it's not TJ just saying things a whole bunch of times, but when we got the players, you know, leading the whole time and saying things throughout the whole team. So when we get to that point, when TJ doesn't have to yell everything and say everything to us throughout the whole game, we're going to be really great.
Well, and we've talked about that. I've talked about that for many, many, many years, that a coach can only do so much. And the culture has to come organically, and it has to come for the players. Because at some point, the coach yelling just becomes noise. And until that locker room and until that bench and until that huddle understands all that is required of them, and it's self-policing and it's self-governing and it just kind of moves itself forward, and that's going to take some time.
Sure.
What are some things that you're looking forward when you get, you know, when you're able to get on the court to help that process, maybe accelerate that process a little bit?
Well, yeah, I know we're going to be, you know, we're going to have a lot of new guys next year. So ultimately, I want to step into that leader role from day one. I want to be able to, not just on the court, off the court as well, because your habits that you create off the court is what's going to help us win on the court. You know, and some of those habits we got to try to develop this year as well. You know, because it's, you know, some guys always, they're saying, I hear a lot of the people say, oh, we're looking forward to next year. No, it starts now. All of our success is going to start right now, what we're doing right now, with me off the court as well. So me building those habits with me and my teammates on and off the court, I feel like it's going to ultimately help us down the road.
So let's go back about 3 minutes. You mentioned one of the things that TJ Otzelberger wants out of you guys is to be approachable.
Yeah.
What does that mean and why is that important?
What I mean by approachable is, like, for example, not be standoffish in the community. Actually be able for someone to come talk to you and you be able to engage them and, you know, and have conversation. Because ultimately, I mean, it helps with multiple things. It helps with fan base. It helps with certain things like that. At our old school, everybody, all the fans felt like they could come and approach me because, you know, they felt like I had a good charisma and all that good thing. So I try to spread that throughout our whole team so they'd be able to do the same thing.
So I'll give you some advice, and I'm sure John would do this as an older person. To me, being approachable is gigantic, and it has to start at a young age because you never know who you're going to encounter when you're in college.
No question.
I'll give you an example. Marcus Arroyo, the football coach, he's going to be announced tomorrow.
Yep.
Desiree Reed-Francois was at San Jose State, you know, way back in around 2000 when he was the quarterback there. He made an impression. You're always making an impression with especially adults.
Yes.
And that could lead to something down the road where, hey, that's how I got a job. That's how I built my career if you don't turn out to be, you know, a 20-year professional basketball player.
Yep.
Especially in a community. I mean, Las Vegas is growing and we're well over 2 million people. This is still a small town. And you never know who you're meeting and you never know where they're going to wind up. So I think that's great advice and I think that's something to live by and I think it's a great message to give to your teammates. A lot of guys have made careers here in Las Vegas after playing basketball here or football or whatever at UNLV just because they're able to make that correct impression. I think that's
well said. And to touch on that, you know, I told my teammates when we first got here, it's not just about everything we do on the court. To me, Las Vegas is one of the best places in the nation when it comes to networking and marketing your opportunities. Basketball is great, but basketball doesn't last forever. It's about building relationships at a young age, starting relationships, and trying to build those for later on in life. Because everybody, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know at the end of the day.
That's incredibly well said, David. We're not going to worry about you. Just make sure your teammates understand that so you can help them out. Last question for you this time, because I know we'll talk to you again. Biggest surprise, positive, negative, whatever, since you've been here at UNLV, whether it has to do with basketball, the community, people you met, whatever it is, what's the biggest surprise been?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Vegas has full a lot of surprises.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, wait, man, not those kind of surprises.
Let's focus on the good ones then.
Yeah, a lot of surprises. I'd say, honestly, the commitment that the people in the whole athletic department have to their players. I'd say I came in and I'm thinking it's Las Vegas. You know, they might not be as committed, you know, because they got there's so much going on and things like that. But Desiree, from on down on, you know, they're all so committed in their player success, which to me is, I mean, I feel like it's going to be amazing down the road for all of us student athletes. So being able to see that each and every day, ultimately, I feel like is one of the best things about this being here.
Well, I'm going to represent you as the offers come in for various jobs outside of basketball after this interview. I expect a number of senior casino executives to be calling to hire you to come on board because you are a very impressive young man. I'm just teasing. But we look forward to visiting with you more during the season. Look forward to watching you interact with your teammates. And, of course, most of all, look forward to you watching on the floor next year.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
you coming by,
man. Thank you.
Thank you. No. David Jenkins Jr., our guest. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Moses Wood will join us. You're listening to TJ Otzelberger Show from Parkway Tavern on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. All right, back here at the Parkway Tavern on West Flamingo here in Las Vegas. Runner Rebel Coaches Show, John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield. Our final segment, Rebels back in action on the 18th on Wednesday night, a week from yesterday, taking on UOP, University of Pacific, a very good team out of the West Coast Conference, big physical and old, experienced, and that always poses a challenge. We're now joined by the other Runnin' Rebel who is redshirting and another guy who sort of came back home, at least in terms of the state. Moses Wood joins us after a trip down south to the Big Easy. You go down to Tulane, spend a year down there, and decide to head back. Moses, thanks for being with us. What were the factors in the decision to come back to Nevada and specifically UNLV?
Well, obviously we didn't have too great of a year last year at Tulane, and I decided to transfer. And I was a little worried, honestly, as to where I'd go, but Coach TJ reached out to me, and he just talks. The big thing with me and TJ is he talked a lot about the relationship, and that's one of the things I feel like I didn't have at Tulane. So he talked a lot about relationships. I said that was a big thing for me. And UNLV was close to home. It felt like home. I've been down here a lot for basketball tournaments, so it just felt like the perfect fit for me.
What do you think it is about your game that attracted TJ and his staff to you in terms of the style they want to play?
Well, for one, I'm a shooter, so I think just from looking at TJ's past recruiting, he loves shooters, so I think I fit right in with his offense and his playing style. And plus, I'm a 6'8 three man, so I got long arms as well, so I think I'm just a good fit for him in his offense.
Can you talk about, obviously, TJ had a big part of you coming here. Jordan Cornish, former Rebel, was your teammate at Tulane. What information did he share with you about what it's like or what to expect that played a factor in your decision to come to UNLV?
He said it's great. He said it's like a family here. Me and Jordan talked a lot, and he just told me over and over how much he loved it and what a great fan base there was. And he said it was just a great loving environment, so that helped with the decision for sure.
That's awesome. Did Jordan also tell you that he was Pat McCaw's caddy most of the time when he was here?
No, he didn't tell me that.
He could have caddied for worse people.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the best guys, and just got named Player of the Decade in the Sun. We'll talk about that another time. But Steve, I know you had a question.
So, what's it like sitting out? I mean, you know, when you grow up, you're accustomed to playing basketball, not just in season but out of season, and right now you don't get to play competitive basketball.
Oh yeah, man. I knew transferring was gonna be really hard to sit out and watch, and I've never sat out for a whole year from competitive basketball. But I think, like, as much of a negative side there is, I think there's also a lot of positive. I think there's a chance for me to grow, to get bigger, to perfect my game and craft my game more. So I think it's also a great, you know, experience and opportunity.
By the way, was it too hot in New Orleans for you?
Yeah.
Considering where you grew up, and that, man, Reno gets pretty cold.
Yeah, the summers are crazy. Yeah, the humidity was ridiculous. I've never experienced something like that before. But
how's
the
food?
Oh, the food is fantastic, though. Food is fantastic.
Those beignets and a little gumbo and etouffee and all that.
I visit New Orleans every year now, and let me tell you, the campus around Tulane and the park right there, man, it's freaking beautiful. But I was asking you about the weather because what's happening here? It is It's pretty cold out.
Yes.
I've become a wuss as an old guy, but growing up at Reno is one thing. You've got basketball shorts on. I guess we can mention they're NBA shorts. But then you're wearing a jacket. This is quite the ensemble you put together.
Yeah, well...
Confused.
If you've ever been up to Reno... If you've ever been up to Reno, you know how bipolar the weather can be sometimes, and I don't know what I was thinking with today, but I just haven't had shorts on.
That goes without being said.
That's all right. We're good with that. All right. In terms of your game and the things, I mean, I think it's great that you're looking at it as an opportunity. I think that's the right way to look at it. So what are some specific things that you know you want to work on, you want to get better at, in addition to getting bigger and stronger, so that you can make a contribution as soon as you step on the floor next year?
Well, essentially, I want to be able to put the ball on the floor. I want to be pretty much a big guard. I think that would really help our team out if I was able to handle the ball and bring it up. And it just made me that much more diverse as far as what I could do. So
you're doing a lot of specific ball handling drills?
When I get in the gym by myself, I try and work on my ball handling and just being able to handle it better, yeah.
In terms of and they always talk about getting up shots. You say you're a self-described shooter. Is that just something you constantly try to do in the gym?
Yeah, 100%. I'm always getting shots up every time I go. Just get reps up as many as I can. So yeah, all the time I'm shooting.
Well, we really appreciate it. We haven't had a chance to visit with you yet this year, so it's great to kind of meet you publicly. And we are so excited to have you as a Runnin' Rebel in the future, and 3 years of eligibility left. Welcome home. You'll figure the clothing thing out, I assume, at some point. But really appreciate you coming by. Moses Wood joining us here.
Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for us. We want to thank the fans who made the trip over to Parkway Tavern. Of course, thank the great folks here at Parkway Tavern for hosting us during the rodeo. We'll be back at Bailiwick next Thursday. And from here on out, it's every Thursday at Bailiwick. Over on ESPN 1100. For Curtis, for Steve, for Nick, for Jared, this is John saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Wednesday at the Thomas and Mack against UOP, next Thursday at Bailiwick for the Coaches Show. Have a great evening.
Inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. You've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.